Now, the last sermon, we talked about a series about service. And the last sermon, the title is about the power for service. The Holy Spirit is forsaken from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. Again, I want to stress to you, because all of us have the Holy Spirit in us when we surrender our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and that is a guarantee of our salvation from God. So it is very important for us, because all believers, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And if the power for service is the Holy Spirit, the question that we usually ask is that, why certain people, they are more powerful? They seem to be more powerful. Why some of us, we are lacking in our faith? Why we feel weakened in our faith? We cannot do anything. This power from the Holy Spirit is one that is visible, one that is relevant, and one that is venerable. So very quickly, we go through this. Again, John 14, 15 to 17 says that if you know Him, He lives with you and will be in you, this Spirit of truth, the advocate that Jesus sends after His ascending to heaven. And we also talk about Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. The Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, is the seal. He is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So we are God's possession. Whether you like it or not, we belong to God. We have the identity that we are called the child of God. But also, as we move into the series of service, we are the slave for God as well. All right? So the Holy Spirit is in all believers. And the Holy Spirit is in us because He is the seal that is guaranteeing our inheritance, that we belong to God, you and I. We belong to God. And this power of the Holy Spirit for service is something that is visible. We talk about it is visible across generations. All right, we have Timothy, you know, the grandmother Lois, the mother Eunice. And now it's in Timothy also. It is visible across the generation. It is visible with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our next sermon. It is visible with courage and boldness. We can serve without fear. There is this visible power. There is this visible love and self-discipline as we serve God through the church. And we talk about this whole, the power for the service from the Holy Spirit is valor. Right, it is great courage in the face of danger. It has this bravery and all this. And then we see that we are called not to be ashamed of identifying with the Lord of the gospel. We are called to share in the suffering for the gospel. This is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. And then after that, we talk about, you know, do we love our enemy? Last Sunday, Brother A.G. also bring us forth, you know, our love, what kind of love it is. Do we serve the people around us? Do we go the extra mile to serve God? Do we forego pleasures or convenience to serve God? So we talk about this in valor. And lastly, we talk about venerable. And then we talk about, you know, God has set us apart, you and I. God has set us apart by His grace, because before the beginning of time, God has saved us and called us to a holy life, and God has saved us for His own purpose and grace. This is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, to be set apart for His own purpose and His own grace. So we have all this in the last sermon. And last Sunday, Brother AJ talked about what is Christian love. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And in a nutshell, one sentence, agape, the love of God, Christian love is one that is self-giving and one that is sacrificial in nature. It is self-giving. It is sacrificial in nature. Now, as we move into our service or our passage this morning, may I invite you to turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We are going to look into Mark chapter 10. It's only going to be one verse. But let's go through the whole passage, all right, to give us a better picture of what's going on here. Right, so if you have your physical Bible, it's going to be helpful, because at one glance, we are able to see the different sections of this same passage. All right? Now, before we go to the passage, we have an interesting conversation between this American football coach and a recruiter. A recruiter is one that goes about the high schools, usually, so that they can source for people who are gifted in football, or rather American football, rugby. Right? How many of you know what rugby is all about? The ball is not round. Yeah, all right? So that's rugby. So this recruiter, he asked the football coach, "Coach, should I recruit somebody who falls down and stands up again? You know, rugby is rough, right? People push you down, and then, you know, do I recruit, as I interview the people, you know, do I recruit those who fall down and stand up?" The coach said, "No." Then the recruiter think again, and then he asked, "Okay, so if that person was knocked down and he falls back up, and he was knocked down again and he falls back up, do I recruit that person?" Then the coach said, "No." Then this recruiter think again. "Okay, so how about this? If the person was knocked down, get back up, knocked down, get back up, run across the field, knocked down, get back up, can I recruit that person?" The coach said, "No. You are supposed to look for the person that knocks people down." In the world today, greatness is somebody that lords over other people, knocks people down. In American football, they want to look for somebody who knocks people down. Now, you notice that in many fields or in the world today, that seems to be true. Those who are high up in the leadership, they seem to be the one that is knocking people under them. But let's look into our passage this morning. You will realize that it is so different in our faith. In the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Can we read it together? 1, 2, go. This is like kindergarten. Yeah. Okay, can we do it like an adult? 1, 2, 3, go. We thank God the children are not here. That's a very bad example. Right? As adult, we need to set a very good example to our next generation. And thank you for setting a good example for them. So, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now, the world is asking us, how many people serve you? So, how many people serve you in your daily life? You may have a maid, you may have a driver, and then maybe in the company you have a PA, what else? I don't know, you have a cook maybe? You have a cleaner, you have a gardener? I'm not sure. Right? So the world is asking how many people serve you. But Jesus today is asking how many people do you serve? So most probably we can get, you know, how many people serve you. Yes, we can count that out. But how many people do you serve in the church today? For those who are in ushers, you serve by welcoming the people into the congregation, into the service, into the sanctuary. All right, so in that sense, here roughly we have about 100 plus people. So ushers, on a Sunday, you know, in general, you are serving about 100 over people, welcoming them to their seats. That's a lot. And for those who are serving in the refreshment team, that one is slightly lower because usually we have about 100 plus, just barely 100 people at the refreshment site. So the refreshment group serve 100 over people. Then how about the Sunday school? Sunday school, the teachers, they are serving the children under their care. Maximum, we have about 26 in the class. We have a few classes. And the worship team, who are they serving? They are serving God by leading the people to worship. So they are, again, serving the whole congregation. Now, for churches that have traffic control, they are serving those who have a car to be parked under the church building. So the question that Jesus is asking today is, how many people do you serve? Those who do not know about our Christian faith, when they enter into the church, they will be bombarded with this Christian church vocabulary. Right? Meetings. The meetings that we call here, you know, the meetings that we are having now, they are called services. The organizations or the charities within the church, we call them ministries. And the funds that we receive, we call them offerings. Anything that you see that has a similarity. All this means giving, service, serve, offering, giving. So if those who do not know about church and first of all they step into the church, first thing they know, they should notice is the wordings that we use. We call this as a Sunday service, not Sunday to be served. We come together, we serve one another, we serve God. And these are some of the words that should be prevalent in a church setting. Now, as we look into our passage this morning, we are looking at a king who chose to step down. Step down from his glorious throne. Step down from the heavenly kingdom. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 is a conclusion to a request by James and John. If you look into your Bible right now, and as we look into the flow, Jesus was predicting his death. You know, he was teaching the people about divorce in chapter 10, verse 1. And then he was talking about the little children and Jesus in verse 13. There was this rich young man starting from verse 17. And then he was predicting his death again for the third time in verse 32. And after he predicted his death, there was this request from both James and John, you know, in verse 38. And they were requesting, you know, can we sit, you know, at your side when the day comes? At the end of this request comes this verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, when we look at things, sometimes, you know, we seem to ignore the important truth that God has shown us. If you look at Mark chapter 10 again, you know, he was predicting his death. He was preparing the disciple that he's going to die eventually. And suddenly the disciple is asking, you know, putting out requests. For some of us, we may be putting requests as well. God, if I serve you in this manner, what do I get in return? We have Peter asked that before. And now we have James and John asking whether they can be seated at the right and the left hand of Jesus when the day comes. Now, James and John, they are the sons of Zebedee. And for your knowledge, James was the first one to be martyred. He was the first one among the 12 disciples to die. And John was the apostle John that was the last to die. And he was exiled to the islands of Patmos, where he has written, you know, the book of John and the 1-3, John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and also the book of Revelation. So this is the two person that requested to be seated on the left and the right of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but when we look into the life of Jesus, sometimes we have forgotten that before he ever healed a sick person, before he actually bent down and washed a foot, he actually exchanged the worship of heaven for the dust of the earth. He has forsaken the heavenly kingdom, come down to be like you and me. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, this is in New Living Translation. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Before we even talk about the life of Jesus, we need to think about the king who chose to step down. The king who had given up everything, the worship of heaven, his comfort, his majesty, for the dust of the earth. To be like you, to be like me, to experience pain, hunger, thirst, loneliness, anger, sadness. He has given up all that so that he can come down to become like us and to serve us. So we see there's this big contrast of majesty and meekness. Meekness means humility. Luke chapter 2, verses 6 to 7, Christmas time. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. King of kings, Lord of lords, the creators of the heavens and the earth. No place to give birth. No place to be called home. Such humility. Yes, he was great, but he has chosen to be so humble. And we see that he stepped down voluntarily. He chose to come down, to live among us 2,000 years ago. And after 3.5 years, he chose to walk the path to the cross. We are going to explore that in these 2 weeks' time. So the question for us today is, if Jesus considered equality with God not something to be grasped, he is foregoing his privilege as God. What are we clutching that is keeping us from serving? Is it our title? Is it because I'm a CEO, I'm a MD, I'm COO, CEO, or whatever? I have no idea. And there's a lot of titles today. Is it because of our title in our secular job that is hindering us from servicing or from serving the people around us? Or is it our comfort? Wow, too hot, too early, too rush, or too jam? Or is it our expertise? If it is not my way, then no way. You have to do it my way. Or is it our reputation? Aya, paisei la, when other people see me serve. Don't see me. Or the other opposite? Our pride or our arrogance. Others must witness me serving, so that's why I sign up. Which of these is keeping us from serving God in the church and in the community? Secondly, we see that the king is the one who got his hand dirty. Now, John chapter 13, verses 3 to 5. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing, he wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, in a culture where foot washing was the job of the lowest servant, Jesus has chosen to take that lowest place, and he called it leadership. Imitate me. The most powerful being in the universe, he tied a towel around his waist and he washed his disciples' feet. The lowest of all. So in today's term, what is it like? Can you think of something like that? What is the lowest job possible today? Saikyo, I think, yeah. I'm not sure. Is it taking out the rubbish? Is it cleaning off the tables? What is it that you think is the lowest possible job today? And Jesus is doing that those days. And we see that the king got his hand dirty. He got involved in all this work and all this ministry. Even though he had the power, God the Father has put all things under his power. He has all this authority, but he has chosen to be here, to preach, to teach, to heal, to perform miracles, to perform exorcism, and to fulfilling prophecies, the death and the resurrection, and he talks about the final judgment that is to come. His miracles display who he is. King of kings, Lord of lords, God of all. His tower displayed his humility when he tied the tower around his waist. So Jesus served from a position of strength, not weakness. He served from a position of strength, not weakness. Now, maybe some of us, when we see, yo, why the person is like cleaning the place up, we may be looking at that, hey, why is this person doing such a low job? Now, when we are, and when we know that we are the child of God, we are the child of the one true King, we can definitely do the work of a servant. As we think back what has gone through as they build the house, what is the first part that we need to get done? When you just think about it, you know, whenever we want to build a house, what's the first part that needs to get done? The foundation. Very good. Foundation. So you see that on the first day, foundation. Then what was the second thing? The structure, all right? You have the beam coming up. And then after that, this is where things, maybe it should be that, it should be this. But you see, the third thing that they get done was the roof. Why? That's zing, you know. That is super hot. Can you imagine those who are in the roof team? They have to climb up, scaffolding, and they have to face the zinc. And not only the zinc, but what's being reflected on the zinc? The sun, the sunlight. They get the first charcoal that you can see. Now, it is very crucial for the roof to be up first, because after that, the people who is working on the building will be sheltered. We want to thank God for those who are physically available to climb up the roof. I'm small. I can climb up the roof, so I most probably will be the roof team. But we want to thank God because there is this wisdom, right? After the foundation, after the structure is up, the next thing that you need to focus upon is that the roof, and they climb up. They have to face the sun. And once their work is done, the rest of the team will reap the harvest. So when we know we are the child of the King, we can do the most impossible service to God. So we need to ask ourselves, where can I do dirty work without losing my identity? For some of us, we may be, you know, very shy. To shake hands, to smile, and to welcome people. And especially after COVID, we don't really shake hands anymore. We don't even give a hug anymore. Hey, COVID. No, wear mask. Everybody is keeping a distance from people. Not even a shake of hands. So to some of us, the dirty work could be to shake hands, to smile, and to welcome people. For some of us, our dirty work can be to clean the table after the refreshment, to wash the dirty cups and plates, to clean the toilet, to arrange the chairs. And for some of us, it is to park at the outdoor car park and walk to church. I've noticed a strange phenomenon here. You notice that there are people who are late to church, right? We were starting at 11 o'clock. And I do notice that they are quite consistently late. And I realize the reason is because of the car park. They come later because by then there should be available car park downstairs to park their cars. So for some of us, our challenge is to actually come earlier and park at the outdoor car park and walk to church. And some may say that, oh, no, 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 my car, very precious. It must be underneath a sun, underneath a shade. And lastly, we look into the king who gave his life. Last part of verse 45, to give his life as a ransom for many. The ultimate act of service was not a tower, it was a cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Now, God has removed our debt, the consequences of sin, which is death. Jesus died on our behalf, and he paid the ransom, the price, so that the captives of sin, you and me, we were set free. And we see that he gave it voluntarily. He chose. Jesus Christ chose to lay it down. Now, can you think of a conversation? You know, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before God chose and go ahead to create the heavens and the earth and ultimately mankind, what was the conversation like between the three of them? Have you ever thought about that? Maybe I think too much. If God, in all his wisdom and all knowledge, knows that Jesus is ultimately going to die if he creates the heavens and the earth, but still choose to do it, what does this show? You're having a meeting, you know. Then maybe God the Father is asking Jesus the Son, you sure? If we start to create the heavens and the earth, you have to die, you know? You have to let go of your majesty. You have to come down to be a human, to experience hunger, pain, all this. And then after that, you have to die, you know? Can you imagine the conversation between the three of them? And even after considering this, knowing all this, Jesus is saying yes. If Jesus don't say yes, we cannot have the world right. Because God, in all his wisdom and all his knowledge, he knows what is going to happen. And yet, he chose in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. No love can take us away from God. No other love. Just think about this point. And Jesus willingly gave up his life for you and for me. So again, this passage, this message, this one verse is very simple. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. As we go about our Christian faith, 10 years, 20 years, we may have gone through this verse. But ultimately, we see that this verse shows the supreme humility. Jesus letting go of this. In his knowledge, in his wisdom, chose to give up even before the creation of mankind, creation of the world. And the supreme mission is the act of ministering. He came here not only to live a life as a king, but he came here to be a minister, to minister to the people, to minister to his people. And ultimately, we also see that he paid the supreme price, which is the act of giving his life on the cross. Brothers and sisters, there is no true ministry without sacrifice. Jesus gave it all. And as brothers and sisters, we have a church here, we cannot serve at a distance. We cannot serve at a distance because real service costs our time, our comfort, our pride, and sometimes our life. Now, the test for some of us. This year, Good Friday is not going to be here. This year's Good Friday service is going to be at the main church. Do you know where's the main church? Bukit Bintang. Do you know what happens at night at Bukit Bintang? Jam. Jalan Aloh. For some of us, it is not a test because we are going to be there. Regardless of jam, traffic, whatever excuses we may have. But for some of us, we may be thinking already, ayo, you know, I'm staying in Kepong. Kepong, go KL, jam about 1 hour, find car park. Wow, where should I park? Take MRT. Where should I park my car as well, you know? A lot of things comes to mind. Peter declared the same thing as well. You know, Matthew chapter 26, verse 35, Peter declared, you know, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. Jesus didn't ask us to walk with him to the cross. But I believe God is asking us to come back as a church. So are we pointing fingers at Peter and say that, you know, this is the guy who disowned Jesus for 3 times. And in John, we have a record that there's another disciple who actually went along. Are we going to point fingers at Peter and the other disciples? You know, they have Mempersiasuikan, the name of Jesus. Do you know what is Mempersiasuikan? All right. It is an unconscionable for them to be a disciple of God and yet deserted Jesus when the people and the soldier came for him. Can we turn up for the Good Friday service? This is my challenge for you. It's happening in 2 weeks' time. Think about it. Plan with it. Bring your family along. It's not going to be easy. We live in a world that is obsessed with greatness, yes. But we see that Jesus defined greatness in a different manner. Greatness is not being served, but in serving. Greatness is not clutching upon all these privileges, but actually chose to step down and serve. Greatness is not about saving your life, but to give it up. So again, where do I need to step down to serve somebody? Where can I do dirty work without losing my identity as a child of God? And what is the one sacrifice God is asking me to make for the sake of serving others? For some of us, it could be just turning up. Can you turn up for Good Friday? It's between you and God. If I do see you, if you do come to the main church, maybe we can sit facing the pulpit on the right hand side so that we know, ha, this is KLBC Desa Park City English Congregation. That as we see one another, we can encourage one another. You made it, ah? Good Friday, you made it, ah? I hope to see you there. But again, I won't be taking names, lah. I won't be taking attendance, right? But I do hope to see you there because you are making the effort to be there to remember what Jesus has done on Good Friday. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the many who are serving you in their capacity. That they are not concerned about stepping down, they are not really care about doing dirty work because, Lord, they are secured. Their identity is secured in you. They know who they are. We know who we are serving. And Lord Jesus, you deserve our service. Lord, for the many who may be struggling right now, we pray that you will give them comfort, you will convict their hearts, open their doors, Lord, to see the many areas that they can contribute to serve you, to serve your name, and to be a light to this community. Lord, we know that it could be awkward for some of us because, you know, we may have not done this before. But Lord, we have this family here that we can encourage one another. And simply by turning up, Lord, to show our face, to be there, it is going to be such a great encouragement to one another. Because we know that we belong to you. So Lord, we just want to thank you for all the ministers, all those who are faithfully serving you in this church. Now, before this time to come, Lord, we pray that you will help them. You will continue to sustain them with your strength. You will grant them the wisdom to plan about, to manage their schedule. Lord, we know that there are CEOs, there are MD, there are COOs here seated with us. We want to thank you for their faithfulness to serve you, regardless of their position. Lord, we want to challenge those who have yet to commit to serve you, to make a choice today. To make a choice to serve you in whatever ministry that you have prepared for them. And Lord, we know that the power of the Holy Spirit will come once we start serving. Greatness will come after we chose to serve, not before. And Lord, we pray that we will not mempersiasuikan your name. We will bring glory to your name. We will honor your name. That the people, the community who sees us, Lord, they know truly that we belong to you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one name that stands true. I want to thank you and uphold the offering time into your hands. Lord, prepare our hearts as we give a portion of our offering and earnings unto your hand, according to the scripture, according to your conviction. We want to pray also for the charity offering that we are going to collect later for the Siloam House. The Lord, there are 6 of the children, the special needs children, who will be joining us on the upcoming Easter Sunday, the Mandarin congregation, to be baptized. Lord, we want to thank you that you have not forsaken them, even though they are born special. Lord, we want to thank you for the ministry that you have given to us to minister to them. And Lord, we pray for even more people to rise up so that together we can go out and shine for you. Prepare our hearts as we give, because Lord, we know that you love a cheerful giver. In Jesus' name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.